B-Pod Studios.
This is WWE superstar Drew McIntyre. You're listening to the Wrestling Inside the Ropes podcast with James Stewart and Mike Riley. Mike, remember to talk less and claim more.
Mike Riley, did we find out who the greater power is or was that was dressed as a cameraman and cut the rope as Demon Finn Balor was about to beat Roman Reigns for the Universal Championship at WWE's last pay-per-view?
I have a theory on who it was, but we didn't find out per se.
We didn't find out, so they didn't. No. They didn't give you any.
Yeah, like, no, nothing. No,
because there's an internet video that's going around.
Yep.
That shows clear as day a cameraman has cut the top rope as Finn Balor is about to drop the coup de grace on Roman Reigns and become the new Universal Champion. So I just want to know if we have uncovered that wrestler, that superstar, that manager, that broadcaster, just anybody, so that we can figure out like what the hell happened to the top rope. Who did Paul Heyman pay off? Who did Roman Reigns pay off? Who did the Usos pay off? Just give me something tells me what happened.
Well, the first thing when I saw that video too, the first thing is, you know, camera person and Vince McMahon, June 7th, 1999. It was me, Austin. It was me all along. I could totally see something like that hidden underneath there and revealing that they were the one, the camera person, or the hell, it could have been Vince doing it right there just to cut the damn rope and screw the match on Finn Balor.
Mike, maybe it was just subtle and it was Cesaro, because Finn Balor beat Cesaro on SmackDown to move forward in the King of the Ring tournament. Michael Cole and Pat McAfee just didn't explain to me the story that it was Cesaro dressed as a cameraman cutting the legs out from Finn Balor, because Cesaro couldn't beat Roman Reigns. So if Cesaro can't beat Roman Reigns, then Finn Balor can't beat Roman.
He can't. Yeah. So someone's looking for a little payback here on Roman Reigns, any which way they can get him.
So that is my continuous thought. Yeah, I want to know who this cameraman is.
We'll investigate.
So now we're 2 minutes in and I've wasted 2 minutes of your time and I apologize. But burning questions, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Mike, I think that in reality, we have a good problem here. And I think what we have is we have a bunch of good wrestling across a bunch of different shows. I do think that All Elite Wrestling has an advantage right now, and this is just my opinion. And AEW is 3 hours per week versus 7 hours of WWE programming. And I include NXT. I know that they don't anymore. It's just Raw and SmackDown. But it's math and it's exposure. And AEW still has that crowd vibe that I'm going to the show. This is something that's going to be fun, while the WWE fan is sitting there waiting to be impressed. I think AEW Dynamite is the most must-watch show right now in wrestling. I felt for a long time it was SmackDown, and then it would go back and forth. But those are the two shows that I feel like the wrestling fan has to watch. AEW Dynamite is action-packed. It's 2 full hours of action. It's surprises. And it's a really low percentile of the show that I find myself saying, I don't care about this. The last few weeks, we've had Arn Anderson dumping Cody Rhodes and symbolically putting a bullet in Cody's head by doing it. Sammy Guevara pulls an upset over Miro for the TNT title. Adam Cole is consistently telling Jungle Boy tuck his chin while he takes his finish. Adam Page returns to win the casino ladder match for a future shot at the AEW championship on the second anniversary show. So I generally feel there's just a stronger what's going to happen next in AEW than there is in WWE. And AEW has a lot of different creative possibilities. But with Adam Page winning a future title shot, AEW went back to a foundational storyline that they have. And my stance on this has not changed. If Adam Page is available, Adam Page beats Kenny Omega for the AEW championship. But I'm not sure if that's what AEW is going to do, which makes it kind of exciting. And as irony would have it, Mike Riley,
yeah,
you were at one point the negative anti-NXT guy. Mm-hmm. And had you stuck to your guns, you would have ended up being right, because AEW ultimately kicked NXT off of Wednesday nights.
They won.
So, Mike, this is a long, long way of the opening question.
I'll digest.
Knowing that we can all watch and enjoy wrestling that's out there,
yeah,
what's the show brand that you're like, Wednesday night, I'm there live. Monday night, I'm there live. Friday night, I'm there live.
Right.
What right now are you most enthusiastic for your pro wrestling?
Personally, AEW for me, like you said. And it's something that I want to invest myself in on the product with. As you mentioned, it's 2 hours. And, you know, I try to watch as much of Monday Night Raw as I can for the 3 hour show, but it's very hard to, you know, watch that there a whole 3 hours, almost like watching a baseball game, Jimmy, right? It's just, you're going to flip back and forth on channels, go up, do a couple of errands here or there. Nine innings, a long time, as we know. 3 hours, it's very tough to stay in tune for that unless it is a pay-per-view. 2 hours is perfect. I think the Dynamite. Friday Night SmackDown, if I'm home, I'll watch it, but my work schedule a lot of the time, I'm not around that much on Friday night, so I have to watch it on DVR. So in terms of being fully invested with a particular show on a weekly basis where I must watch start to finish, it's got to be AEW. And you know what, Jimmy? The ratings the last 5 weeks for AEW backing up why it's been so successful too. Let's go back to the first week of September, 1.47 million. September 1, the week after that, September 8th, 1.3 million. September 15th, 1.175 million. Arthur Ashe Stadium, September 22nd, 1.273 million. And then September 29th, 1.152 million. So the hottest television series on cable right now, I don't have the exact numbers for this past week for the 2 year anniversary show, but the numbers work. And
there's over a million.
It's over a million. Like, okay, yeah. There you go. The return of Adam Page right there, as you mentioned, awesome. And I want to talk about that storyline down the line there as well momentarily. But it's working. The AEW grabs the viewer, and they keep wanting you to stay engaged, and they give you things that it's almost like they're catering to their audience
The fan, Mike. That is what AEW is doing.
Yep.
They're giving us as fans what we want.
And they're catering to the fan.
Yes. So to detail your point a little bit, and this is why I've consistently said AEW is ECW with money. ECW, we as fans, we were part of the movement.
Yep.
We were part of the vibe. We were part of everything. AEW, we feel like now that Tony Khan has his finger on the pulse of everything, we feel like we're part of it. And I think this is something that you brought up in our brief email outline exchange, that Tony Khan went on the record and was like, yeah, I kind of took away power from people at the end of 2019. And since I took over, the show's been better.
Yep.
And he's right. Because there was a vibe in the room, and then it was like this weird, like, this isn't what we wanted. And then Tony Khan took over, and it's like, this is kind of what we want now. And because Tony Khan was in the ECW arena, he felt the crowd. He's got a brilliant mind.
Right.
I feel like there's a little bit too much love for Tony Khan right now from everybody, that it's all sunshines and rainbows. So there's a story there. But I think that Tony has a good feel, and he's a very detailed oriented person, because most of these stats people, and Tony Khan is a huge stats people person.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
They have layers and layers and layers and layers and layers and layers of stats and information. So Tony probably has 4 years of pay-per-view matches written out. And it's just a matter of filling in the details.
Yep.
And that's the key. And having like Adam Page was probably going to win the world title at the last pay-per-view, but his wife was expecting.
Yeah, he was off. Yeah.
So look at what just dropped into my lap. Adam Cole, Daniel Bryan, Brian Danielson,
yeah.
and CM Punk.
Right.
Like right. that just drops right into my lap.
Throw in Ruby Riott too. Throw her
Ruby
in there.
Riott. Agreed.
Yeah.
Talented performer, but those are four huge names
yeah.
that can cover up Adam Page needing to take a few weeks off.
And you know what? No one even
see the birth of his child, and nobody complained.
Exactly. With all due respect to Adam Page, there his you know success absence. And so forth. What's that?
His absence.
But his success. So even while he was away, you didn't even notice that at all because they all stepped in. Those guys right there that were claimed from AEW. Just to your point there, Tony Khan loving the sunshine that he's getting there. I just think that he's getting more of it, especially from the fans, from the ones who have been frustrated with Vince McMahon for such a long time. And now they found that new home where they're getting things that they actually want. Like, to my point, AEW catering to the fans, Tony Khan buttering up the fans, letting them have what they want when Vince McMahon was not allowing that in WWE. So that's why I think he's getting a little more of this patronizing, if you will, in a good way for Tony Khan to be of that, you know, the top executive. And he's running the show, like you mentioned, to Mike Johnson, a PW Insider.
Yeah, and he's accessible, although he hasn't done our podcast yet, which I've asked.
That'd be awesome.
Oh. But I've been trying for 3 years now, I think.
No, but well, you know what, Jimmy? I mean, to his credit too, like I mentioned in the email chain, Jacksonville Jaguars have gone through hell the last couple of weeks from a public relations standpoint, and he's still making himself available to talk to people. I know he doesn't run the day-to-day operations, much like his dad with the Jaguars, but he's still heavily involved. He's running a wrestling promotion. They're atop the ratings each week. You don't see Vince McMahon. I mean, Vince McMahon probably doesn't have to be out there like Tony Khan, but he's making himself accessible, which is really good. I think that's important to show that, hey, I am in charge here. I'm going to be fan-friendly here and do whatever I can to continue to put my promotion over and make it the best.
Mike, the really successful people in life, they put their business first and their 24/7 employees, and there are a lot of people who have to sacrifice because of that.
True.
But it's why, to a degree, that Vince doesn't want to give it to his kids. Because, you know, how many does Hunter and Stephanie have? How many does Shane and his wife have for kids? Right? Yeah. Like, Vince and Linda had two.
Right.
And they did, like, everything. And then once it got too big, now Vince defers. Right? And yes, Vince has final say, but it's Bruce Head's creative. But there's a team. There's a writing team for SmackDown and Raw now and NXT. You know, Nick Khan does the business stuff, but it all goes through Vince's desk.
Right.
And wrestlers are still calling Vince at 1-2 in the morning, and Vince is picking up the phone.
Exactly.
At 70 whatever years old.
Yep.
So these jobs, and Tony Khan, I don't think he's 40 yet. So Tony's got the energy. He's got the understanding. His dad is a businessman, so he can do this. He can stay up for 72 hours straight to write a wrestling show that makes sense during the pandemic when he has to tape it all in a garage in Atlanta with Tony Schiavone going over details, making sure that everything works out. And like, this is how detailed he is. I think he told Aubrey Edwards, you can't change your wrist tape or your, you know, you can't change your eye makeup or you have to change your eye, something like that.
Yep.
But you can't be on this show because you were on this show and
right.
it doesn't sequentially make sense.
Right. Right.
But like that is not only the details of a crazy man, but details of a wise man.
Exactly.
Like those types of things. And that's why he's so successful. That's why that family is so successful in business. And, you know, some of us try to balance that out and, you know, we get what we get. But life is a choice, right? And that's much deeper. So back to this.
Oh, by the way, Tony Khan, you just said, you know, he's not even 40. Ironically enough, I just looked up. Today's his birthday, 39 years old. Happy birthday, so Tony Khan.
Happy birthday, Tony Khan. Thank you for giving energy to the wrestling business.
Yeah.
And I can tell you from our podcast numbers, like there's a massive jump yep. from pre-AEW to now there's AEW.
Right.
So if the million viewers on Wednesday night isn't proof enough, like our podcast numbers have gone up over that course of time because there's more interest in wrestling.
Yep.
There's more CM Punk, Roman Reigns, all that stuff, but there's buzz in the world of wrestling. Back to the storylines at hand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
And specifically the chase for Kenny Omega's AEW world title.
Yeah.
Has
interesting.
He's got a lot of chasers, right? And I love it. I don't feel confused by it, Mike. Mm-hmm. AEW is lining up wrestlers and building direct or indirect anticipation for what's next. Mm-hmm. Paige has a future title shot. Danielson is looming. We all feel like CM Punk is going to be in the title hunt soon. AEW on Rampage announced a world title eliminator tournament with the brackets to be announced this week. Mm-hmm. So if Danielson isn't the winner of this tournament, that's another name. And just for history lesson's sake, last year at Full Gear, Kenny Omega beat Adam Page to win that tournament. And then Omega went on to beat Jon Moxley December 2nd to win the world title. So if you want to tie the Adam Page, Kenny Omega story together, Adam Page goes into Full Gear as the challenger because he's earned the Casino Battle Royal opportunity.
Yep. As the
Adam
Joker.
Page beats Kenny Omega for the world title.
Mm-hmm.
So now you've got Adam Page is the world champion a year after Omega beats him.
Yep.
And then who's next for Adam Page? Is it Punk? Is it Danielson? It's a Kenny Omega rematch. You saw Jon Moxley. Yep. In that casino, he's probably itching for another crack at the world title. Mm-hmm. You know, there's always Jungle Boy who will take every big star's finisher. Right. So that's another match.
Yep.
You've got Darby Allin. You've got all these matches kind of lined up. Are they going to do a Young Bucks gauntlet? We're going to see Adam Page against the rest of the Elite. Oh, by the way, Adam Cole, baby.
Right.
Is going to be in the world title hunt. And so this is the cool thing about AEW is the world title is important and the world title is being chased by many.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the fun part of it.
You know, and you even talk about some of those other contestants there. I mean, you may finally get the push here for Andrade. You know, this could be his push right here eventually. Pac is in there. Orange Cassidy, he's atop the rankings right now, just behind Adam Page.
And Pac and Orange Cassidy were challengers to Kenny Omega over the summer.
Yes.
Pay-per-view.
And listen, Matt Hardy was in the match too. You can't rule him out either. So, you know, maybe he's on the back end of his career here and, you know, one more shot.
Matt Hardy has a lot of wrestling left, let me tell you. He's got a lot left. And he's smart and he's doing the manager and tights thing and...
But I'm just saying, you know, he could have a good little singles run here. You never know.
He could have a program with Sammy Guevara again.
Yeah, why not? You know? So, Paige, to your point here, looks like he'll have the match with Kenny Omega at Full Gear. And, you know, of course, that was his first match since his 5-on-5 tag loss to the Elite a few months ago. And I really like the spot here where he hit the Deadeye on Pac through a table from the top of the ladder on Dynamite in the match there. Moxley did take him out of the ring. But again, here he is, a huge pop, Adam Page, Hangman Page, rather, coming into Philadelphia, a huge pop. And to ride that momentum there and Kenny Omega being a champion almost a full year, it makes perfect sense for him to come and potentially take that title off Omega at Full Gear. But, you know, the Bryan Danielson situation is really intriguing, too, after his match with Omega last month. And if they don't, if they still do have Kenny Omega retain, then Danielson, I think, is the guy to, you know, be the first one to take the title off Omega, probably not until 2022.
There is a path, Mike Riley. There's a path.
Yep.
Most overused term now, at least in my world, is there's a path to something. Mm-hmm. And I blatantly overuse it, but there's a path to Adam Page wins the world title. We finally get Kenny Omega and Danielson in a match where there's a decided finish. And then that leads to Danielson versus Adam Page.
Danielson versus Adam Page. Interesting.
Right?
That would be awesome. Oh, my gosh.
And you can have, I thought of this. Remember when AJ Styles lost the title to Daniel Bryan? You should remember this very clearly because I pulled you off of something.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's podcast, yes, right? Yes, yes, yep.
What happened during the course of that AJ Styles loss to Bryan Danielson for the WWE Championship? Daniel Bryan turned heel.
Mm-hmm.
You could potentially, and I'm not advocating for this. I don't want to heel turn Bryan Danielson, but everybody's like, when is CM Punk going to turn? When is CM Punk going to turn? This is like gaining momentum.
Yep.
How about turning Danielson? And I'm not advocating it, but nobody's talking about turning Danielson.
Yeah,
We've seen Danielson's villain runs. His Ring of Honor championship run, if you're an Honor Club member, I am.
Yep.
Go through his reign as the Ring of Honor champion. There's a lot of good stuff in there. And if you don't want to go through that, you may have lived the eco-friendly Planet Champion run.
I hated that thing.
Exactly.
And that's why it works.
So Danielson,
yeah,
is an outstanding villain.
He is. Now, the question is, though, I think, I don't know, maybe that he's getting the creative control. Would he rather be a heel or would he rather be embraced? That's
from what I've heard him do a bunch of interviews.
Yep.
He just wants to wrestle.
Yeah.
He doesn't care if he wins, he loses. He shows up in a white t-shirt just because he wants the bare bones wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Which, and he's, I appreciate, I love. And he's so good because he was a great wrestler in Ring of Honor.
Yep.
He added a dimension when he went to WWE because they taught him some tricks.
Yep.
How to visualize being a pro wrestler, and that's why they call it sports entertainment. And so he has implemented that so well.
Yep.
But it's just basics, and we can all relate to Danielson.
Absolutely. Underdog sort of deal, you know, and when you look at his physique, he's not the traditional big guy Vince McMahon had for years. Jim Ross, obviously a big advocate for him. I mean, there are other guys that open the door to get the likes of Daniel Bryan with the size there in WWE, and obviously that took off. I mean, I'm going to go to the Eddie Guerrero's and even the Chris Benoit's and Chris Jericho, for crying out loud. He was probably the real the beginning of that right there. But Bryan Danielson, to have him, he can do both right there, be the heel. And that is a very interesting scenario. If he were to be that top heel to challenge Adam Page, I'd be all in on that. That'd be great. But again, I just like him so much when he's so over with the crowd, the yes movement, everything, the music coming out. It works. I'm fine with him as the face. And I mean, listen, I know I've talked to you and I've mentioned this CM Punk here, have him turn heel. I'm okay with them to go natural on that. But if you're going to make Daniel Bryan a heel, I'd rather see CM Punk be heel before Daniel Bryan. So I want Daniel Bryan to ride out this momentum as a good guy right now.
I think they're both excellent bad guys. I think they're both amazing top drawing bad guys.
Yeah.
I just want to cheer them both.
Yeah.
So like, I'm not advocating for this, but
in my
way of trying to play out a potential story, like Adam Page, who is the most beloved good guy that AEW has created.
Yep.
is going to win the world title soon. We think. If he doesn't, then, you know, Tony Khan gets fired for being Booker of the Year. He loses my vote. But the fact that they could do, and they could get away with doing Danielson versus Page as just like a babyface match, because the crowd would go nuts for it. And then Danielson cheats to win.
Now, that'd be awesome. That'd be
in
cool.
a similar way, by the way,
yep.
that Kenny Omega cheated to beat Jon Moxley.
Sure.
Right?
Get him back.
And here comes Don Callis. Mm-hmm. Omega cheats, runs off with the title. You're not going to do that exact story, but you could do something similar.
Yeah.
You can do something similar. But yeah. I don't feel like wins and losses matter to Danielson or Punk.
No.
So if you're telling me that Adam Page is going to beat Danielson clean, oh, what a notch in the belt that is.
Well, it's intriguing whatever way, whatever.
Can I use the term notch in the belt, by the way? Is that allowed?
Well, you didn't say notch in the jewels, did you?
No, I was going to take that analogy a step further, and I'm like, can I even use that one?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Although it is 2021. We don't know what the hell we can say anymore, for gosh sakes.
Ugh. Yeesh. But Danielson, just the idea of all the things, like Tony Khan is literally walking through Toys R Us with all these action figures, like, oh my God, I can do this.
Yeah.
And for me, Dynamite is on Saturday night. It's live in Miami. Bryan Danielson against Bobby Fish. That's a match that a low percentile of the fans will enjoy. Me, it's like, oh my God, this is such a good match.
They're all in on that.
Oh, these are so, these guys can grapple. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, I can watch them fight for 20, 30 minutes. Oh my God.
Well, it's Daniel Bryan to see him out there, just really enjoy everything. Every time he's out there, and it's just so natural at it. You can really tell the difference of him kind of in a relaxed atmosphere, if you will, more relaxed, and his real comfort zone, if you will. Enjoy every Bryan Danielson match.
We're gonna keep doing it. It's okay.
It's been awful.
However many years of conditioning.
Yeah, it was like the Jon Moxley thing forever. Yeah.
We'll get there. Don't worry.
It'll happen. Yes, you just embrace every time he's in the ring. And did you see CM Punk's comments? Who just said, go off in this to our friend Justin Barrasso on Sports Illustrated. What he said?
I have not. I'm sorry. I love Justin. I'm sorry I didn't see his work this week.
Okay, he just made a comment. CM Punk is there to have fun as well. It made me think about that. And he is there to be the Ray Bork of AEW. Because as you know, Ray Bork went to the Colorado Avalanche to win a Stanley Cup. So he just wants to be that guy to do whatever he can to be like a Ray Bork.
Ray Bork was an important player on that Avalanche team.
Yes, he was.
Like, and people think that Ray Bork went there at the trade deadline and like they won the cup that year. Nope. And
by the way,
It was the year after. And by the way, Ray Bork didn't want to go to Colorado. He wanted to go to Philadelphia.
That's correct. Yep. Harry Sinden screwed him over. Screwed a lot of guys over.
But did Harry Sinden screw him over? Because Ray Bork won a championship with the Avalanche and the Bruins got better prospects from Colorado.
All right.
I wouldn't say that that's screwing somebody over.
He didn't give him what he wanted initially. He did want to go to Philadelphia. Yeah.
He wanted a Stanley Cup. So what was more important?
Yeah.
Comfort of team or going to a cup contender?
And then
Avalanche team was loaded. I know we're not doing hockey talk here.
Drury. Yeah. Patrick Waugh. Then we had a parade for him here in Boston. How appropriate.
Yeah. And I would throw a parade for CM Punk in Boston. Are you kidding me?
Of course you would.
I would too. I have a photo on my wall that is signed by CM Punk.
Yep.
Where it's from Night of Champions.
Oh,
and don't worry, there's a punchline. There is a punchline coming to this story, so don't.
Yep.
It's story time with Jay Stu because Jay Stu's medicated.
Oh, let's hear it.
So there's a photo on my wall. It's CM Punk in Yankee pinstripes standing over John Cena from Night of Champions. It's signed by CM Punk. And it was that night where it was a double pin. Fabulous match.
Yep.
Great match. And it was a double pin because you're not beating John Cena in Boston on Cancer Awareness Day.
Right.
When John Cena's got a host of people sitting in the front row who are cancer survivors.
Right.
So how do you get out of it? You do a double pin, or John Cena thinks he wins on the double pin. They do the fake celebration. CM Punk gets his heat back by clocking him with the belt because he won't give John Cena 5 more minutes. So it's a passive aggressive way of getting out of it. And I love passive aggressive stuff. Mm. So here's the kicker to the story.
Yeah.
Billy Lanny, who produces with me on Felger and Maz.
Great guy.
He's walking out of the building and the girlfriend and the boyfriend are like, the girlfriend is like, okay, let's get out of here. I'm done with this wrestling show.
Yeah.
The boyfriend is like, I can't believe they did that to John Cena in Boston. Like, he is bitching all the way up the aisle over that finish. Like, I can't believe they did this company. Da, da, da. And the girlfriend is like, get me out of here. Leave me alone. It's entertainment. Like, I shouldn't have come in the first place.
Yeah.
And Billy and I have this theory that like she broke up with him after when they got home. Hopefully that was worth it. It probably
was. No, that was cute. That was good.
You know what?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I'm over, Mike.
What's that, Jimmy?
I'm over this WWE draft.
Mm.
This is the 16th time the WWE has done a roster split brand extension style draft, and I'm over it. I'm over the concept. I don't know who's available on a certain night. I can predict where people are moving. Roman Reigns goes first overall. McIntyre goes from Raw to SmackDown. Edge goes from SmackDown to Raw, and that's because Edge lost to Roman twice on pay-per-views. Rollins is now on Raw. Becky is on this one. Like, I'm just done with the whole roster expansion thing. Mike, do you know, name me one member of Hit Row.
I can't.
And I'm not doing this to be mean, but the point is, did you know that one of them is the North American champion?
Nope. No idea.
Okay. Swerve Bro, Isaiah Scott. Okay. That's a real character's name.
Is he a champion?
He is the North American champion on NXT who just got drafted to Raw.
Didn't know that.
So this is kind of Swerve Bro. Austin Theory, who was on Raw and then was on NXT. Now he's back on Raw. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these wrestlers were just assigned different brands or the same brand on Talking Smack or WWE social media. Yep. So again, this signals that there are just too many wrestlers and more so, Mike, too many wrestlers that fans just don't care about week to week.
Yep.
So this goes back to WWE has 7 hours per week and it's showcasing talent, but they're just talents that aren't connecting. So one of the reasons why I think that when we were at Raw in Boston, we cared so much is because I think Raw was good. And it had a big story that built towards the end and then it got paid off. Yep. But here was Raw on September 27th, right? And this shows you how WWE might be thinking about how thin their roster is and how this brand extension is kind of like, meh. But like, Raw the 27th started with Big E versus Bobby Lashley for the WWE title. Do you remember what the main event that night on Raw was on September 27th? I'll give you a hint.
It was a tag team?
I just mentioned it. It was Big E versus Bobby Lashley for the WWE Championship, except it was within the confines of a steel cage.
Mm-hmm.
So you've started and ended Raw with the same matchup.
Mm.
So that tells me that you as a creative team don't necessarily believe in the depth of your roster. Like, I don't get the vibe from people that I talk to or social media that anybody cares about Doudrop, Angel Garcia, the Viking War Raiders. No. Ricochet has been buried. Reggie is funny for like 30 seconds.
Yep.
Keith Lee is now Bearcat Lee, which I actually kind of dig the Bearcat thing.
Mm.
He could be a top guy, but he's been off TV. Not his fault.
Yep.
But they have to rebuild him up. The NXT fans seem to love Karrion Kross, but they're upset that Vince altered his entrance and his work style. So, like, you have all these details of, like, how many wrestlers can I care about? And this goes back to to what I think WWE needs to do, and they won't, because they're a business versus – they're really about business metrics than they are about viewership metrics.
Right.
Right now, they can be, because they have a gazillion dollars, global brand, everything.
Mm-hmm.
I think if WWE cleaned up their roster, two-hour shows per week, we'd feel differently about WWE as a product. There's a narrative out there about AEW is just scooping up fired WWE guys.
Yeah, that's...
Mike Riley, here are the numbers. You want numbers?
Yeah, let's go.
11 of 117 wrestlers who have been fired by WWE have signed with AEW. Wow. 11 of 117. That's 9%.
Yep.
And by the way, my belief is, this is an informed opinion, WWE is going to be making more quarterly roster cuts and adjustments as we go forward. So while the draft, don't worry, I'm going to tie this all together. So while the draft did well TV ratings wise, it's just time to end this brand split thing, because the switch is, oh, by the way, I don't know all the details of who's available, where they're going to be available. I can call most of it, but now the switches don't start until after the Crown Jewel pay-per-view.
Yeah.
So until then, it's cross brand chaos. And by the way, this is going to continue into November, because what show is after Crown Jewel, Mike Riley?
It's Survivor Series.
Yep. Which is brand versus brand.
Yep.
So this cross branding is going to continue until at least November 21st.
Yep. Yep. Well, you know,
so rant over. I don't have a setup question. I don't have a
facilitation
question.
But. Okay. Well, so you want the brand split to end.
Yep.
And so you got to go back to the year 2002 when this all started. Shortly after the WWF, woo, Peter Brady moment there. WWF.
I do it all the time.
Yeah. No. Yeah. And they went to the WWE, losing that lawsuit there. Now, at the time when that came in there in 02 with the brand split, I hated it. And you have to remember that there was only the Undisputed Champion and the Women's Champion, the Tag Team Champions and all that. Whoever the champions were, they were, I think it was the Undisputed Champion, I believe the Women's and Tag Team were on both shows, Undisputed, for a while. And then, obviously, they got the world title and the WWE Championship. It took a while for me to get fully on board with the brand split, but now, obviously, 20 years in the making and so much talent out there, it's just how the company is built, and you can't change it. I think it's very hard to get out of that right now, where you're just going to underutilize. Now, listen, not saying there is not a lot of talent underutilized that's we don't see week in, week out, i.e. Dolph Ziggler, just as a little example. But I think that's the only way to get talent on television, by having this brand split here, because otherwise you're not going to get them on every week where you have a major storyline on Raw, and then that's going to carry over to SmackDown. I think it's also important, too, for the brand split to stay, because it garners ratings more. And the reason why I say that is, well, you're going to have one specific storyline on Raw. You can't get it on Friday on SmackDown, so you got to wait for that next week there on Raw. So you're going to get specific storylines on Raw and specific ones on SmackDown. That's why I think it's too indented, too deep in to get out of that hole where the brand split is not going anywhere. And even a couple of years ago, 5 years ago, 2016, when the draft was really re-implemented to a big deal with Mick Foley as the Raw general manager and Daniel Bryan was the SmackDown general manager. Stephanie McMahon was the president of SmackDown or Raw, rather.
They had weird titles. Don't worry about the titles, Mike.
Yeah, just like it was just all they really re-implemented the whole thing there after a little bit of time where you just had super shows, which I thought worked out fairly well. But I think it's they're too deep in a hole here to get out of a brand split. It's going to stay for a while. And unfortunately, if you are all in on WWE, that's how you have to look at the whole picture here. Like, well, I have to be invested in SmackDown. And you know what? I don't like these guys on Raw, so I'll watch SmackDown. I don't like these guys on SmackDown. I'm going to watch Raw. I think that's what WWE has done here. And that's how they're going to continue to do this for the foreseeable future, unless they unify the titles and get rid of it altogether. But there's too much talent to leave off television to not have the brand split over.
So it has been said for a lot of years that the WWE roster has so much talent, so much great talent, franchise building talent. Why hasn't it delivered? And so you can only do so much with, well, Vince has lost touch. Vince has lost touch. Vince doesn't know what it takes to make a superstar anymore.
Yep.
At what point does the talent get blamed for not getting over what's created for them? And this is my way of backing up. If WWE were to simplify everything, you could get more of this buzz because you have more people fighting for less television time. Mm-hmm. And I think this might be a bigger problem in WWE is everybody gets a very nice salary. And there's not that fight to be a top star because person X is making $750,000 and can come and go as she likes. Or person Y has $1 million downside and he can come and go as he likes.
Mm-hmm.
So like the rumor right now is that Brock Lesnar is gone after Crown Jewel. So for Brock, it doesn't really matter because he's been Universal Champion for 504 days and he's only made 9 defenses. So he's left for...
Where's he going next?
So supposedly he's gone after Crown Jewel. He'll be back for the Rumble.
Okay.
Right? So my mind says, well, Roman's going to beat him, which I thought Roman was going to beat him anyway.
Probably.
But there was a Dutch Mantel interview that I saw the transcript of where Dutch is like, you know, now would be a good time for Heyman to turn on Roman and put the belt back on Brock. And now you've got a thing with Heyman and Roman, and maybe Roman's close enough where he's a good guy. And it made me think, mm-hmm. but at the end of the day, like,
well,
so Brock gets the Undertaker streak. He gets the Tribal Chief streak. And then does that build Roman for Dallas? And I'm like, I don't get the vibe that the audience wants to see Roman Reigns in the challenger's role against Brock Lesnar for a third WrestleMania. I don't get that vibe.
You know what? Maybe. Well, here's the other thing too, to take into consideration with the Saudi Arabia, Jimmy, as we've discussed many times, I think what the Saudi Arabian prince wants, the Saudi Arabian prince will get. If he wants Brock Lesnar to lose that title, Roman Reigns to lose that title, he'll have Roman Reigns drop the title to Brock Lesnar. So that's, you have to have that in the back of your head as well. To your point there, for the audience to get Roman Reigns challenging Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, being an uphill battle, I'd be all in on that. I think, don't get me wrong, Roman Reigns being the Universal Champion for over a year now, head of the table, the bludline, the heel, everything's been really well. I think it would be pretty cool to see that little bit of a way he has earned it, if you will, because he came back at SummerSlam without a crowd last year. And then, you know, he was victorious. He beat the Fiend, right? Didn't he beat the Fiend for the title?
He pinned Braun Strowman. The Fiend was the champion.
There you go. The triple threat. So I think to have that, you have get back at Brock right there, be all in on that.
Back to the brand split thing.
Yep.
I just feel like I know what's going to happen at the draft. I just feel like there's too many things that I don't care about And I just think if they cleaned it up and made it a little bit tighter, I think we'd have like, there would be more like authentic, like I think both companies are doing really well right now.
Yep.
But I find myself with more holes and more like, I don't care about this on the WWE side. And I think that's because it's 7 hours versus 3 hours. Mm-hmm. And that's the part that I want cleaned up a little bit. I think that's a big part of it. Like, because WWE has talented people, and either the talent isn't connecting with the audience or the creative isn't connecting with the talent, and so on and so on and so on. So that's
a lot of guys on the bench.
This is the thing about WWE, is that they can create big moments and big shows. Like, if we're like, Crown Jewel is loaded.
Yes.
Right? Roman versus Brock, Big E versus McIntyre, Becky versus Belair and Banks. The tag titles is a good match with Orton and Riddle against AJ and Omos. Goldberg and Lashley, the King of the Ring, the Queen's Crown. And oh, by the way, they're trekking the Hell in the Cell across into international waters for Edge versus Seth Rollins.
Yep.
Like,
yeah, it's a good card.
It's a really good show, right? And let's project out Survivor Series, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like, here would be the big champion versus champion matches for Survivor Series. Roman versus Big E, Charlotte versus Becky. And I know we've seen that a bunch of times. I still dig it. But Roman versus Big E is a great main event right now for where these two performers are.
Mm-hmm.
Damian Priest versus Nakamura would be a good, unique matchup. The Usos fighting Orton and Riddle. Like, that's interesting to me.
Yep.
And those are just the champion matches. You could put together both rosters and do that. You can even throw in the Tommaso Ciampa NXT champion against the UK champion if you wanted to. And I mean, they wouldn't, but.
Did you say Nakamura, Damian Priest?
Yes.
You did. Yeah. Do that right there. All those right there. But, you know, you have to have your traditional Survivor Series match, probably a male and a female one. So get the guys like the new SmackDown guys, McIntyre, Cesaro, obviously Sheamus, maybe them in there, and go up against maybe Edge, and Finn Balor could be there. Seth Rollins just as a possibility as well. Just to showcase.
Yeah. I mean, Seth Rollins should lead Team Raw, and then you have a natural back and forth. You have, him and Edge on the same team. What's going to happen there? Are they going to work together? Are they going to be griping, whatever?
Yeah, and I've said this the last couple of years too. I'd really like to have a little stipulation here for the Survivor Series. When you have Raw and SmackDown, you know, go head to head for the brands, which is awesome. But give us a stipulation, something here, guys. Like, throw some money at us here. What is this for?
Full Survivor is the 30th entrant in the Rumble. The winning side gets the last 10 picks in the Rumble match.
There you go. Yeah. Stuff like that.
Winner gets a crack at the other brand's champion at a future date.
Yep.
WrestleMania title shot, something like that.
Yes. Tie it in. You know,
The other thing too with AEW, Mike, every match, there's some sort of stakes involved in it.
Yep.
So, like, I don't care about the FTW title, but Philadelphia, Rampage, Philly Street Fight, Taz's belt.
Yeah, that's awesome.
In the main event. Like, it makes sense.
That's great.
And it was good.
Yep.
Like, even if I'm not emotionally invested and going to, you know, hang around for Brian Cage or Ricky Starks,
but
there's a direction, there's a reason for it, and there's something on the line.
Yes, exactly. And yeah, I like your ideas there. Maybe automatic entry into a Money in the Bank contract match too. You know, that's the sole survivor there. Stuff like that. There's so much to play with when you have all of these stipulation pay-per-views on a monthly basis. Use that to your advantage, WWE. Get creative. Get your creative team working there now. Let's go. So.
Let's see. What else do we have? Johnny Gargano.
Yeah.
Because that's all that I've got ranty, and I'm just.
Please.
Trying to get back into the swing of things. Johnny Gargano removed all of his WWE NXT references from his social media accounts. The link to his biography on WWE site is still there. Gargano's contract reportedly is up this December. Mike, you had a thought on this?
Yeah, I mean, I just think that there's a little bit of an interesting scenario there on that one with the contract, because we obviously have seen Adam Cole go to AEW, and I'm not saying that's going to be the destination, but he is married to an NXT talent, so maybe he wants to stay in NXT right now, where we've seen a revamp of it, if you will, 2.0. And if Gargano is to stay with NXT, then he could be probably among the top dogs. I think that's one of the reasons why Pete Dunne re-upped his contract with NXT to be among the top for NXT right there. So I could totally see Gargano doing the same there. But when that situation comes up there, removing all those things in social media accounts, Twitter, Instagram, it's just almost like, something to keep an eye on here. Because as we know, Adam Cole left WWE. His last show was The Takeover in August, and less than 2 weeks later is on AEW. So stuff to consider there on that end there as AEW gets ready to close out the final quarter of 2021.
I think a lot of times people kind of mess around when it comes to their social media with these things. Sometimes it's real, sometimes it's not. It's hard to actually in real time figure out what is real and what isn't.
Yep.
The artist formerly known as the Iconics just signed with Impact.
All right.
I didn't see that one coming.
Yep.
I think they're called Inspiration now.
Interesting.
You know, we're all waiting for Bray Wyatt. We're all waiting for Braun Strowman.
Mm-hmm.
We're all waiting for more people to show up.
Yep.
And they haven't yet. So either this is something, I mean, Tessa Blanchard has been a free agent for a year and a half, and she's got her own issues.
Yep.
She just signed on with the Jenny Buss Lakers owned WOW promotion, which is creative is headed by AJ Lee,
right?
Who is CM Punk's wife.
That's right.
So that's an interest that of conversations I would love to be a fly on the wall for Tessa Blanchard and AJ Lee. That would be interesting.
Yeah. And you know,
I'm team AJ Lee on this one, by the way.
I knew you were going to say that. Yeah. Tessa Blanchard's not really respected too much, I don't think, right now.
And no, she lost a. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She's just going to a bad reputation.
Yep.
So it just, I mean, obviously the Gargano thing went with the whole situation, they were moving that. Doesn't mean anything will happen if he will jump ship or whatever, but it has us talking about it, and maybe that's what we want.
I like Johnny Gargano. He's one of he's an NXT MVP.
Yep.
He's had so many great matches. We were at the Brooklyn show where he won the world title over Adam Cole.
Look for Jimmy in the front
row. 2 out of 3 falls might have been the best match I've ever seen live.
Yeah.
Had the best seat in the house for it.
Yeah, no, it was you hit it out of the park on that one. The other thing here with Gargano doing that, the removing of it.
I guess the question is, Mike.
Yeah.
What does Gargano do? Because he's an undersized guy who can work his tail off.
Yes.
And his promo work in NXT has been a lot better, but he needs people around him, which isn't the end of the world. But what does Gargano do that can put him on Raw or SmackDown or in AEW, or like there are all these other like details of like, what do you do with Johnny Gargano?
Right. What do you,
cause Vince McMahon probably looks at him and goes, well, this is just another, in the words of Bruce Pritchard, tiny guy.
Right. And I was going to say, like, another reason why he may have taken all that off there is just to do some contract negotiations. Hey, well, you know, these guys are talking to me too here, Vince, but maybe he'll try to get a little more creative control in his contract, the next one, and work things around there. But what does he do? Do you put him up to Raw and have him go up against the likes of Finn Balor? Maybe even, you know what, make a run at Shinsuke Nakamura, Damian Priest, along those lines, too. You never know. That could be something there. But I think he is a backbone of NXT. He's been a core guy. Him and Tommaso Ciampa, two of the guys I think of right away for NXT. So,
best story in NXT history is the Ciampa Gargano one.
That was a really, yeah. And you know what? You can keep it going too.
And it never got the climax that it deserved.
Yeah.
It was done in an empty arena. Mike, do you have anything else in your notations? Because I have a closing thought.
You know what? I just, let's see here. Yesterday would have been Eddie Guerrero's 56th birthday. So Guerrero, of course, as we know, passed away some 15 years ago now at this point. And it just, it's crazy to think, wow, he would have been 56 years old. And looking back on his career and being one of those guys that had that unbelievable moment in Madison Square Garden, WrestleMania 20, a mid-level size, mid-size superstar, if you will, and to be able to overcome the odds there, to have that moment as a world champion, and just to carry the title, being where he was, his life lost way too soon, obviously, Eddie Guerrero, but he would have been 56 years old. So if you have the chance, go back and watch an Eddie Guerrero match from quite a few from his illustrious career. I think that's a nice way to honor his memory on what would have been his birthday this weekend.
Loved Eddie Guerrero. Probably didn't appreciate him as much in the moment as I now do historically.
Yeah.
Because he was just so entertaining. I never thought he would be the world champion. Mm-hmm. I was happy that he did become the world champion. Yeah. So that was a cool thing. It might have been because of circumstances that Brock Lesnar was leaving to go play football, but mm-hmm. it doesn't matter because he got to be the world champion. Whether you lie, cheat, or steal, he got to do it.
That's right.
My closing thought is about the passing of Reggie Parks.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Reggie Parks passed away at the age of 87 years old this week. Yep. If you don't know who Reggie Parks is, you actually do. Reggie Parks was at one point in time a Canadian pro wrestler, but I think Mike and I are most familiar with Reggie Parks' work from WrestleMania 4, WrestleMania 3, a bunch of other WrestleManias.
Yep.
And what I mean specifically is, if your favorite championship belt was the Winged Eagle, Reggie Parks created that. And if you're not sure what the Winged Eagle championship belt is, it's the one that debuted on the main event when the twin referee situation happened with Hulk and Andre. It's the belt that Randy Savage held on two occasions. It's the belt that Bret Hart held on five occasions. Ric Flair held the belt on two occasions. It is that variation of the WWE Championship. The Intercontinental, if you're familiar with Randy Savage's reign with the Intercontinental Championship, if you're familiar with Ricky Steamboat winning the red-lettered WWF Intercontinental Championship at WrestleMania 3, Reggie Parks created that design, which later came back after it went away around, when did they do the Attitude Era? It would have been around WrestleMania
97, 98, yeah. 98.
So The Rock would have been the last person to hold a Reggie Parks Intercontinental Championship within the first run of that.
Yep.
I believe it was either The Miz or it was Cody who brought back the Reggie Parks design. It was just on white leather, not the black leather strap.
Correct.
Some of your older tag team championships, the World Tag Team Championships held by the Bulldogs, Strike Force, the Hart Foundation on two occasions, Demolition on three occasions, so on and so on and so on. Reggie Parks is responsible for those designs, those iconic championship designs. He also played a role in some WCW championships, their world championship that Ron Simmons held, that Lex Luger held, that Sting held in that 1992 era where it wasn't the big gold belt.
Yep.
The United States championship that Sting and Rick Rude, I think Ric Flair held in kind of that mid-90s clump. There are others, but those Vader. Are probably the most prominent. Vader also was a world champion and a U.S. champion in that time frame.
Yep.
Those are the most prominent designs by Reggie Parks. So Reggie Parks is a big loss at 87 years old, former Canadian wrestler, also belt creator extraordinaire.
Yep.
So if you see a little action figure and it's got a winged eagle belt with it. Reggie Parks and his family get a royalty for that. So Reggie Parks has been embedded in our minds, whether we knew that as wrestling fans or not.
No, that's really nice, Jimmy, and a nice way to touch on the life and legacy of Reggie Parks and professional wrestling there. And yeah, you don't think about that. That was the guy there that created all the beautiful titles. And you know, I know you and I are on video each week, and I see your titles behind you there. I'm not
the Winged Eagle is my favorite WWF championship. It's not even close.
Yeah, it's probably mine too. I put the Reggie Parks Intercontinental right up there as well. I love that IC title.
And I have a replica, and it's got a Macho Man title plate. I actually just
what, as for the
a,
Winged Eagle?
Yes, the the Winged Eagle I have over my shoulder has a Macho Man nameplate on it.
Nice.
My friend Amir, as a housewarming gift, I got him a Bret Hart Winged Eagle belt.
Oh, cool.
And it's got a Bret Hart nameplate on it, which I'm going to find out if that actually was a thing or not, or whether it's a one of one. But that's a story for another time.
Bret Hart actually signed my Winged Eagle belt. So that's the only one that signed that one so far. Trying to decide. I'm going to have Shawn Michaels
hopeful that I can get a signature on it for my friend. But, you know, good. We'll see.
No, that's awesome. But no, I think that's a really nice way to memorialize Reggie Parks and any wrestling fan that obviously has seen these belts. It's a great way to recognize the fine work that he did and what he has, what he his work will continue to do to set the bar for other titles that will be created for many years to come. So rest in peace, Reggie Parks.
On the other side of the tag out, you'll hear probably the most famous Reggie Parks story as told by Bret Hart in his Hall of Fame speech. Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 985thesportshub.com and on the 985 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts.
Favorite story about my brother Owen relates back to my father, and I remember it, I think it was WrestleMania 4 in Atlantic City. I brought my dad down, and he was just so happy to be there. You've seen all the old, you know, all the guys that he, so many of the old timers that he remembered, and he was just in such a great mood. And he was rooming with me, and I remember I got up in the morning, and my dad was just kind of getting up, and the phone rang, and I answered it, and talking, it's like, it's Reg Park, you know, on the phone, and it's like, and it was Owen, you know, I didn't know it was Owen, but he said it was Reg Park, and he wanted to say hi to my dad, so I hand the phone over to my dad, I go, it's Reg Park, and so my dad, Reg, was a really nice, easygoing kind of guy, and I think he was a bodybuilder, and anyway, so Owen, my dad gets on the phone, and next thing you know, I'm just watching my dad, and he's starting to pace around the room, and he's got the phone, and he's in his nightshirt. He didn't, you know, he's still all just waking up, and I remember he's getting all worked up, and I guess Owen was on the phone, you know, telling him that my dad didn't have the balls to, you know, ever mess with him, you know, that if you, you know, he kept pushing my dad's buttons, and you know, I remember as I was there with my oldest daughter Jade, who's here tonight. And I remember my dad going, Reg, if you'd wanted to try me, why didn't you try me, you know? And I remember he got so worked up. I mean, he was like red and pacing around. The veins were coming out of his forehead and all that. And then all of a sudden I just saw him. He just slammed the phone down, sat down. And he looked at me. He goes, "The bastard Owen, he got me, you know?" I remember Owen, he told me that he was pushing my dad's buttons so much that he couldn't take it anymore. He was laughing. Like my dad was, he was saying all kinds of stuff to my dad. And, you know, it was just, it was one of those great stories with my brother Owen. If you knew him, I'm sure he pulled a joke on you somewhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.